Chapter 21. Miller woke up in darkness. He could feel several moist spots on his body, which seemed strange because his mouth was so dry. The idea of a sip of water seemed the most wonderful thing he could imagine. There was also a lot of soreness in his body, most of it centered in the spots that felt damp. In a minute, he would move one of those suddenly very heavy hands on the end of his long, ponderous arms and feel around, find out what the wetness was. But right now, it seemed like too much trouble to move at all. A hand touched his forehead and then retreated. A moment later, there was a flare of light. Mara knelt beside him, propping a torch into a crack between two rocks. They were in a shallow cave, just big enough for the two of them. Mara moved her hands back to Miller, to the moist spots. He looked down to see that they were his wounds, each covered with some kind of herbal poultice. And to his amazement, they were not bloody, gaping holes. As Mara moved the moss away, he saw small spots of scar tissue. He was nearly healed.
"What happened?"
he asked her, surprised at the weak and raspy sound of his voice. Mara ignored his question. Instead, she closed her eyes and held her left hand over each poulticed area for a minute or so. Heat came from her hand, and somehow Miller could feel the wounds healing further, pulling together, mending. He closed his eyes again. When he opened them again, the torch had been extinguished. Against the mouth of the cave, he could see Mara's silhouette. Two larger shadows leaned in, and he could hear them speaking in rough, low tones. The warriors who had accompanied her, he recognized one of the voices. From the outlines of their heads, nodding down and to the left, Miller guessed they were telling Mara of something outside. She responded quietly and came back into the cave. The warriors slipped away into the darkness. Miller sat up, and Mara quickly put a cool finger on his lips, whispering something to him that he guessed was, "Be quiet." Now he could hear voices. They were moving closer and... were they speaking English? Yes, he could make out a word or two. It was English. With an Australian accent! Miller jumped to his feet and sat down again, hard. The cave had a very low ceiling, and he'd smacked the top of his head directly into it. Mara pressed back against him, placing her hand on his lips again, urging him to be quiet. There was a shout outside that sounded like, "Oi!" And then a small battle erupted. Miller heard the rattle of Celtic swords and the hum of the laser knives, and then he could smell the seared flesh and singed blood from the banger's knives, and a great shout went up from the Celts. Then the sounds began to move away. Miller held his breath and took Mara's hand, giving it a squeeze for luck. In a few minutes, the sounds had moved far out of earshot. Miller tapped Mara and motioned her out of the way.
"Stay here. Keep quiet,"
he said, pantomiming his meaning as much as he could. She nodded, and he crawled to the cave's mouth. Miller looked carefully out of the cave before moving forward. He was amazed at how good he felt. Either he hadn't been as badly hurt as he thought, or Mara's powers were extraordinary. He listened carefully at the mouth of the cave. Nothing. When he thought it was safe to take a closer look, he crawled out, just a few feet, to see better.
"Wow, wow, wow."
Miller looked up. Standing above him was the Calm Banger, partner of the Angry One. His arm was in a sling, and there was some blood crusted on it.
"Look at here,"
the Banger said, and behind him four more of his mates moved into view, dressed in the same kind of bodysuit.
"Zoids was right,"
the man said.
"This one Riley is a cave man."
"He's the one did for Zoid,"
rumbled one of the newcomers, a man nearly twice the size of the others.
"That's him,"
the first Banger agreed happily.
"Nearly hired me as well,"
he added, holding up his injured arm.
"You tried to kill me,"
Miller protested. The Bangers looked at him with pity.
"Y'all aren't tough, dear,"
the injured one said.
"Think we'd ask you in for tea?"
The huge Banger stepped forward.
"We are gonna have to tear you up a little,"
he said, and he reached a huge hand to grab Miller. Instinctively, Miller knocked the hand away and stepped sideways into a fighting stance.
"Hoi,"
the giant said.
"He's a proper bastard, isn't he?"
And he spit into his hands and began to circle Miller, looking for an opening. Miller circled too, wondering how he could possibly fight someone 7 feet tall who apparently knew what he was doing. And he was quick, too. Miller barely stepped away from a lunge that he hadn't seen coming. But the giant's second lunge would have gotten him if he hadn't slipped, because behind him in the cave he heard a sound. Mara was coming out. Even the giant's eyes left Miller, and Miller looked too. It was a sight well worth seeing. Mara stood in the cave mouth, her green eyes flashing, looking every inch the warrior queen. She held a bronze dagger in her hand and appeared to be ready to use it. For a moment, All the men just stared. Then the injured one cackled.
Yeah,
he said.
Abso-fucking-lutely. I like a pace with some spunk, eh? Don't just lie there.
And he cackled again.
Come on, sweetheart,
he said, stepping forward and holding out his good hand to Mara.
Let us ya and me have a little fun.
No,
Miller said, but the giant stepped between him and Mara, and there was nothing he could do. Mara said nothing, simply stood motionless, watching the banger approach. He stepped closer, reached for her hand, and with a movement too fast for Miller to follow, Mara whipped her knife up and around and into the banger's neck, the only clearly visible spot in his armor. The banger looked very surprised. He frowned, turned to face his friends, said something that sounded like,
kick, kick.
Then he fell face forward onto the ground and didn't move anymore. Mara stepped back to her original position, knife held ready, and said something that sounded like a polite challenge. She was clearly inviting the others to try their luck. The other bangers stood motionless, and for a moment, Miller was sure they would explode into violence. But then the giant burst into loud laughter in a high and squeaky voice. The others stared at him. Then they, too, began to laugh. It was not reassuring laughter. In fact, in some way, it seemed more threatening to Miller than screams of anger would have been.
Spider?
The giant said to one of the others, when he'd stopped laughing. Spider just nodded.
Now then, Missy?
The giant said, and stepped toward her. She turned to face him, knife ready. And as she did, Spider jumped her from the back. Before Miller could do anything, Spider's laser knife was at Mara's throat, and he had knocked her bronze knife out of her hand.
Now then,
Spider said,
shall we kill her before or after?
Ugh, you do a dead girl?
One of the others asked with disgust.
I don't talk so much,
Spider explained.
The girl is mine,
Miller blurted, without stopping to think. The giant swung around to stare at him with amusement.
Oh, is she?
He said.
Like, we had no idea. Dead we might. We are awful sorry, your worship. Can I kiss the ring now?
The others laughed, and Miller realized he'd put both feet into it. Unless he could pull off a colossal bluff, he was in even worse trouble than he'd been before he spoke. But what bluff did he have? Unless...
Let's do ham, Forrest. Any route,
Spider said. There was a general murmur of agreement, and they turned to face Miller, except Spider, who kept his grip on Mara. And the giant one looked right at Miller and said, in a clear voice that was not his own,
tell them you're Set.
Miller stared.
Osiris's brother, Set,
the voice urged.
Tell them.
I'm in the mood for Gora,
the giant said, in his voice now. He snapped out his laser knife.
Have me a wheel?
Miller could not have defended himself at all if the giant had attacked. He was still reeling in shock.
What was the voice?
He had heard it twice now. No, three times. The radio had spoken to him before he hit Tahiti. Was that the same thing? And on the cliff, the voice had told him to go with the bangers, but not to trust them. That had turned out to be the right move. And now it was telling him to pretend to be an Egyptian god? Brother of Osiris, whose mark these thugs all wore? But Set had tried to kill Osiris. Was he being set up? And if so, again, why not just kill him? He was totally in their power.
Go on,
the voice said, this time from Spider. Miller whirled to look at him.
It's your only chance,
it said. No one else gave any sign that they heard anything. The bangers shuffled slightly closer, readying their weapons, and the moment was on him. He had to fight hopelessly. With his certain defeat, meaning the rape and eventual death of Mara, and the loss of the last hope for restoring the awful mess the artifact's destruction had created. Or do what the voice told him to do. Without knowing why, or what it was, or what it wanted. Miller took a deep breath and looked at the circle of armored super goons closing in on him. What choice did he really have? He certainly didn't have any other ideas.
If this doesn't work, I'm history,
he thought. And then he couldn't help thinking it was an ironic choice of words in this new world where future, past, and present were one and the same.
But it has to work.
He did his best to work a small, superior smile onto his face. His lips were dry and cracked, and it hurt to try, but he hoped it was convincing.
I wouldn't do that if I was you,
he said.
Yes, but you're not me,
the giant replied.
You're not really any of us,
Spider added.
So, just who the fuck are you to tell us what to do, mate?
Set,
Miller said.
Brother of Osiris.
There was an instant, and to Miller, very gratifying stunned silence.
Go on,
the giant said doubtfully.
Pull the other one,
Spider added, but he was just as uncertain. For the moment, it was a stalemate. Miller's bluff had gained them some time, if nothing else. It was working, just as the voice had suggested. By claiming to be Set, the brother of Osiris, he has put them off balance and, with luck, bought himself and Mara a safe passage through the Banger's territory.
I am Set, he repeated. Brother of Osiris, let us go now or face my wrath and my brother's.
Can't be,
the giant said.
But he is supposed to show up someday,
one of the other bangers said.
What if this rally him?
Could just kill him,
Spider suggested.
Sorry, we made a mistake.
Way before, then,
another warned.
Thoughts?
The first said.
Osiris? Osiris have a balls for a necktie?
Which he will anyway,
the giant said.
Zoid and Zorky both died and nothing to show.
So why not bring him these bastards?
Spider said.
So it was all his fault?
Oi, Nassie,
one of the others said.
And what about her?
The giant asked, nodding at Mara.
Take a whiff,
Spider said.
Yes,
added the first.
If it's his boy, Osiris want to say hi, toe?
Good old,
Spider said.
What? Just take him bow?
The giant said.
Let him say everything?
Got a better idea, mate?
Spider asked him.
I'd still like to kill them both,
the giant said.
Well, you can't, all right,
Spider told him.
Because if you do, Osiris will want your labor, won't he? And mine, too. Now, give all the might, and let's shove off.
All right,
the giant grumbled.
But if Osiris don't want him, all you got deeds on killing him. Fair's fair.
Fire's fire,
Spider agreed.
Come on, then.
End of chapter.